the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
That the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
O fear the Lord, you his saints.
For those who fear him have no lack.
The young lions suffer want and hunger.
But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing.
Amen.
pray. Gracious Father, your blessed Son came down from heaven to be the true bread that gives life to the world. Grant that Christ, the bread of life, may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Martyrtide is from the 19th chapter in 1 Kings. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow."
Then he was afraid. He arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt his name together.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
And his praise shall continually be in our mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
O magnify the Lord with me.
And let us exalt his name together.
I sought the Lord, and he answered me.
And delivered me from all my fears.
Those who look to him are radiant,
and their faces shall never be ashamed.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him,
and saved him out of all his troubles.
The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him,
and delivers them.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O magnify the Lord with me,
and let us exalt his name together.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, the 4th chapter. Brothers, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one.
one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus, the one who now is risen, ascended, and glorified, said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever.
Amen.
And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.
This is our text. Jesus makes a tremendous claim. He makes a tremendous claim when he says that he's the bread of God come down from heaven to give life to the world. And he knows that the people of his day have a hard time stomaching this. With their eyes, how do they see him? When they look at Jesus, they see just a regular old first century Jewish man. Someone who's like them. Of course, they'd also been present when that man had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. They see him, yet they don't believe. Eyes open, but hearts closed. Hearts closed to Jesus, hearts closed to what he says, hearts closed to who he is. And yet Jesus here is not about to walk away. He is ready to pry open their hearts. He would open their hearts, as you listen to this text, think about this. He would open their hearts by going through their ears and appealing to their stomachs. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." The hungry and thirsty who come to him, he receives as gifts from his Father. The Father entrusts them to Jesus. He entrusts Jesus with those who are hungry and thirsty. And Jesus promises not to cast them out, not to lose any of them. Instead, he promises to raise them up on the last day. Because, he says, all who look on the Son, all who believe in him, have eternal life. That's what he promises. And how do they respond? The Jews grumbled about Jesus. They grumbled because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." I suppose that grumbling about him is better than laughing at him. It shows that at least they take him seriously, even if they seriously doubt his claim. And they find it outlandish. And this might be something worth holding on to. If you're speaking of the faith to someone else, if they get offended or angry, that's probably better than if they just laugh and walk away. At least they accept that things could come down from heaven. Like manna in the wilderness, that came down from heaven. Or the meal delivered to Elijah that we heard about in 1 Kings 19, that also came down from heaven. So they believe that things can come down from heaven, but that Jesus came down from heaven. That doesn't sit right with them. "Isn't this Jesus," they say, "the son of Joseph, whose father and mother live right over there? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'? How can he be the bread?" They knew, or they thought they knew, who Jesus was and where he came from. Jesus was too plain, too ordinary, too everyday, too much like them. And yet Jesus points out a major problem that they face, a major problem that the entire world faces. Jesus points out the problem of death. "Even your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died." People in our day, and don't pretend like you're not one of them, people in our day have a hard time believing that anything comes down from heaven. They're skeptical, in fact, that there even is a heaven to come down from, or at least one that's different than where those Starliner astronauts are currently stuck. The earth we know, what we can see, we believe. That's what seems real. But heaven? Why, that seems so far away, even mythical, like a figment of the imagination. Some people might say that the problem we have in our day is that the world has become too big.
We know too much. We're too connected. Microscopes, telescopes, Google searches, and everything in between have left little room for heaven. But I honestly think that we have the opposite problem. It's not that we know too much. It's that we know too little. It's not that our view of the world is too big. It's that our view of the world is too small. It's become contracted and shrunken and reduced, really, I would say, to what our eyes take in. Which is to say that for many of us, our view of the world is no bigger than our TV or our cell phone. And that doesn't leave much room for heaven or for Jesus or for belief or for eternal life. I'm not suggesting that you need to get a bigger TV to have a bigger view of the world, just to be clear about that. We're stuck in our own closed-in little worlds, and we don't have the eyes to see what's real. There's a scene in The Last Battle by C.S. Lewis. It's the final book of his Chronicles of Narnia. If you've never read them, they're children's books, but they're fabulous for adults. I'd encourage you to read them. But there's a little scene in The Last Battle that captures this sense. There's a group of dwarves that have passed through the door from their world into the next world, but they can't see it. They're blind to the great feast that's laid out before them. They're blind to the grass under their feet. They're blind to the sun in the sky and the feel of it on their skin. What do they believe? They believe that they're stuck in a dark, dank horse stable with animal fodder, and nothing can convince them otherwise. Not even when the heavenly lion roars in their face. What does it take to wake us up? One thing I would say is this, that death is a hard reality. This hit me a couple of weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, my aunt, my mother's oldest sister, died, the first of the siblings in that family. And it hit me kind of hard because the day before she died, we didn't know it would come that quickly. I wrote her a 4-page letter confessing my faith. It went in the mail on Friday morning, and news came on Saturday morning that she had died. Death is a hard reality. What the world feeds us doesn't give us life. It only gives more death. So the question we're faced with is this: will we continue to eat the bread the fathers ate and die? Or will we eat something better and something more? Jesus offers something else. He provides a reality beyond this one. He is the sun that lights up the world so that we can see the green grass and the beauty of the earth and the feast that he has set before us. He serves up a life greater than death, and he calls it eternal life. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus opens up a world that's bigger, a world of life that's eternal in him, that is, in his flesh. And although the people of his day were confused, we know where his flesh comes from. He is not just the son of Joseph, whose father and mother they know. He is the one who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, whose father is God himself. But what does Jesus mean when he says that he will give this flesh for the life of the world? He means the cross, crucifixion. There can be no eternal life for the world apart from his death on behalf of the world. In his flesh, he takes away the sins of the world. He pays for it. He puts those sins to death. He removes them. He buries them with his grave, and then he leaves them behind when he rises again on the third day. Jesus is the one who has life in himself. And so he is the one, the only one, who can overcome death. And those who stuck with Jesus would not be disappointed, not in the end, because death held no power over him. Because if anyone eats of this bread, Jesus says, he will live forever. That's what gave our fathers who came before us in the faith strength. That's what gave the holy martyrs their strength. They knew that this life isn't everything. They considered that what they had here was small, was light, was momentary, and passing away. And that included their afflictions. They didn't flee from death. They didn't cower before death. They didn't resign themselves to death. Because of what they had in Jesus, they could endure it. They could brave it. They could face it with the confidence of those who have eternal life. And on the last day, Jesus said, I will raise them up. Elijah received that same strength as we heard in 1 Kings when he fled from Jezebel. She was out to have him killed. So Elijah basically ran until he collapsed. It says he went to Beersheba, which is about as far south in ancient Israel as you could go. And in doubt and fear, he thought, what am I doing? Nothing is working. And he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's. And then he lay down. I think he lay down expecting to die. But God, in his mercy, sent his angel to wake him. He sent his angel to give him food for the journey. He sent his angel to strengthen him. God has patience on weak Elijah. Isn't it amazing? Even before the incarnation, the Son of God appears to Elijah in that angelic form, and Elijah tastes the bread of life. And he goes in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Like Elijah, you may be weary. You may be weary of doing good. You may be tired of suffering. You may be overwhelmed by the world. You may even feel alone and abandoned. Maybe at times you've thought that death could be the answer. But it's not. God the Father has the answer. And the answer is that he has given you to his Son. He has drawn you to Jesus. What else can explain the fact that you're here today, right now? He has put you into the Lord's hands. And while you are here, you look on the Son, crucified and risen from the dead. You look on him and you believe in him. And what it adds up to is this: you have eternal life. You have it. Not just in the future, not just promised to you, but even now, unseen, hidden, but real. Because remember, Jesus brings a reality that's not smaller, but bigger. And you have Jesus in another way as well, or you will soon as you're brought to this gift. Because as Jesus gave his flesh for the life of the world on the cross, so he gives his body and his blood to us here in Holy Communion. Jesus is the source of life that lasts forever. He's the fountain of life. And so as he did for Elijah, he does also for us. He touches you. He says to you, arise. He invites you to eat. He strengthens you for your life in this world. Does he promise that your life here will be easy? No. Does he say that it will be a breeze? No. Does he say that we will never be touched by death in our physical bodies? No. But he gives you himself, and you can go in the strength of that food for 40 days and more, all the way to the mountain of God. In the strength of this food, St. Paul urges us to put off the old life of sin and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And he's describing you. You are a new creation in Christ. So as those who will live forever, speak the truth in what you say. Build one another up with your words. Work hard with your hands. Trust in your Savior. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you, and walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. For we know what lies ahead, his great promise. Even as he's risen from the dead, so Jesus says, I will raise him up on the last day. And he's talking about you. On that last day where there will be no hunger and no thirst. Blessed indeed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for those who eat the living bread, those who eat the bread that Jesus gives, we shall be satisfied. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the needs of the church and of the world.
Almighty God, you sent your Son to be the bread of life, giving eternal life to all who come to him. By your Holy Spirit, lead the whole church on earth to imitate you and walk in love as beloved children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give strength and courage to all pastors and those who assist them, especially any who may be suffering from conflict, burnout, or depression. Hearten them by the example of Elijah and the prophets and apostles before them. Comfort them with the forgiveness of sins and the promise of everlasting life. We ask for your particular blessing on Gabriel, his family, and the saints of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gorham, Maine, that pastor and people together might rejoice in your word and the gift of the holy ministry. Lord, in your mercy. Father in heaven, through holy baptism, you have joined the faithful together as your children, making us brothers in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us grace to believe that we belong to one another and to live in unity. Lead us to put away all falsehood and malice and instead to speak Christ's truth to one another in love. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all families and homes that one generation may tell the next the wonderful works of God in Christ. Grant Carly, Liz, Casey, Stephanie, and Annie good health and strength in their pregnancies. Forgive and uphold all who bear regret and guilt for decisions made in their personal lives. Make them new creations after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Drive from us and our homes the snares of the evil one, and defend us against the powers of darkness. Grant safe travel and blessed rest to Michael and Nancy Jane as they return to New England. And be with Melinda and her family, granting to them your protection and bringing much good through the things that she has written. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayers for our nation. Lead us to live in harmony with one another and free our citizens from want, suffering, danger, and fear. Grant peace throughout the world and bring to an end all wars and injustice. Deliver all Christians in the suffering church that they might worship you without fear. Lord, in your mercy, show kindness to the sick and those in need, especially to Megan as she undergoes surgery, to Al, who is hospitalized, and Evelyn, to Anne as she awaits her test results, to Linda, that she would know Christ, to Charlie, giving him, Aaron, Dusty, and Natalie deep joy and thanks at his return home and guiding his ongoing recovery, to Eric and Joan, with thanksgiving for your mercy shown and our request for patience and further healing, to Nancy, relief from her pain, to Gwen in her old age, to Rick for his rehabilitation, to Stan, renewed health, and to John, protection from illness. Never let them be in doubt that you hear their prayers. Grant peace to all who mourn, especially to David and Janet and to their extended family. Lord, in your mercy, bless those who commune this day, that reconciled to each other in Christ's body and blood, we may rejoice to receive your forgiveness through this precious gift. Be strengthened in every time of doubt and be nourished in body and soul. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, you sent your Son to be the bread of life. Together with all the faithful who have gone before us, we give you thanks and praise. Keep us steadfast in the faith, so that when our last hour comes, we may rejoice with them at the marriage feast in his kingdom, which has no end. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today, Psalm 34, starting at the 11th verse. Of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and he went away. The Lord redeems the life of his servant. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who deserves life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, who cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the religious cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Grant that this heavenly food, which we have received, will strengthen our faith, that we may bear all crosses, sickness, and trials with patience and trust, until you grant us deliverance, peace, and health, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless you, the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.